Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts.
What's your name? Oh, it's a secret. We'll never know.
You don't get to know.
Oh, I wish I knew your name. What shall I call you for this episode?
Terrence. No, gosh, no.
Are you say? Did you almost say Torrance because we just watched Bring It On? Yes. It was so close.
What kind of name is Torrance?
It's the last name of the family in The Shining. That's all I know.
What? Is that their name is Torrance?
Yeah.
Their last name is Torrance?
Yes.
It's not Shining.
Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Shining and your child, Shining Jr.
Little Shining.
You'll be staying at this hotel. There's weird ghosts.
Yep.
Most are twins.
Yep.
Okay, enjoy your stay.
Maybe, do you think it's Bring It On film canon that her parents are really big fans of The Shining?
I think so.
And named her after it?
I mean, why else would you be named Terrence?
Torrance.
What was her name? Torrance. Was it Torrance?
It's Torrance.
I'm getting all mixed up now.
Her name is Torrance.
Anyway, Bring It On, surprisingly, it holds up.
It really does.
So go check it out.
In
a surprising way,
it's
actually.
Surprising. What was the other movie we watched? Get Over It,
yeah.
If you've probably never seen it, so you've seen it, so you can't say that it holds up.
But no.
Still great.
If you want to get your 90s fix, a shot to the face.
And your Kirsten Dunst fixed.
Yeah, she's in both of those.
Yeah.
Check it out. It features the guy who wrote the thong song. Is one of the actors.
Yes, Cisco.
Cisco.
My name is Megan.
Wait, got there. We got there.
It is not Torrance.
Ghost Host, of course, joining us as always. And we've got a specific, I wanted to say spiffy episode for you.
We have a specific episode for you. Specifically, it's this one.
This is an episode. I'm a little sick after GP Denver, so bear with me. But we're going to talk about GP Denver. Of course, Megan played in it.
Yes.
And I watched all of the top tables doing life totals, so I got some cool insight on pro players playing some sweet games. And there were a lot of sweet games at this tournament.
Yeah.
We also got some Aether Revolt preview cards.
What?
Yes, they're here early. Yeah. It's like an early Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry revolt.
Merry revolt.
And of course, we'll play a game of flavor text theater with a pack that was provided to us so generously from a fan at GP Denver. But before we do any of that, we have some announcements.
Yep.
One of them is to say thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. Patreon.com/MTAcast. Thank you to everybody who joined the Less Than 1% Club. Since our last episode, we welcome you with open arms and open...
Hearts.
I was going to say lungs, but that didn't make any sense.
I mean, if you think about it, neither does open hearts. Just because...
Yeah.
You're talking in a metaphor. Yeah. Anyways, also, thank you so much to our sponsor, CardKingdom.com. Head on over to CardKingdom.com/MTAcast for all of your singles, boosters, and other magic needs.
There is a cool gift idea shop that Card Kingdom has open right now that the professor kind of has curated. So everything in the professor's sort of Card Kingdom gift shop, he gave an A in his reviews.
Oh, that's so cute.
So isn't that cool? You can go in there and buy anything that the professor said was an A. And we 100% trust his judgment on those grades, because everything that I bought that he said was an A, I've loved.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out the gift shop, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. It's pretty neat. And you can buy something for all the game lovers in your lives because they need things.
He is not grading on a curve.
No, it's absolutely not.
Strict letter grade situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know that A is an A.
Yeah.
It's not like a B minus, but everybody got a B minus, so it's an A now.
You sound a little salty about that.
Well,
Megan.
I'm the person who always got an A anyways. I studied.
Knew it. And we have a big announcement, which we'll tell you about later in the show, because we want to put you on the hook and dangle you like a little fish who wants to know more information.
That's right. What's the bait? You don't even get to know what the bait is. Right now, we're just showing you the hook.
Is this a good way to do it?
I don't fish, so I assume so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
GP Denver! order. Hey, we're going to talk about GP Denver first, and then we're going to talk about For the Noobs later in the show, so we can give you a good timeline of things that occurred, and you'll have more information going into the For the Noobs segment.
Yes.
So, Denver, Megan, you were there playing. You were in the thick of it.
I was.
It was thick.
Or the thin of it.
The air was thick in that convention center.
Yes, but the air in Denver is thin.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So it really just middles out.
It sure does.
Yeah.
So what were you playing?
I was playing Jeskai Control.
Okay, and how did you find that deck?
Not great.
Oh.
Very medium. Exceptionally medium. It felt a little bit anemic. Sometimes where it's like I would have some good early plays, and I would kind of stabilize, but then the deck would just kind of be like, eh.
Yeah.
And then, like, my opponent would have, like you know, if I didn't, you know, they drew, like, a couple more threats and I didn't draw a good card draw or something to start, like, turning the tables and start attacking them, then it would just, like, I would just peter out and die.
So your only threats were, like, your Gear Hulks, right?
Yep, Gear Hulks, and some Wandering Fumarils.
Yeah, so Torrential Gearhook, Wandering Fumaril. Otherwise, you just had to deal with whatever you saw.
That's right.
Whew, tough order.
Handle it, man. Oh, and a Chandra Flamecaller, which is the 6-mana Chandra that makes two, you know, you can attack with the 3/1s. Yes.
Yeah, we didn't see a lot of that Chandra this weekend, but interesting that you
No, but I did like it. I did like it in the deck. You know, it sometimes gave that oomph.
Yeah.
That was missing.
Sometimes you just need two hasty 3/1s.
Yep. Sometimes you do.
So, Megan.
Fire ponies.
You weren't super thrilled with your deck choice.
No, I was not.
How did the tournament go for you?
I went 5-3-1.
That's not bad.
Well,
you're sitting here and you sound like you went you went 0 in a 12 million.
0-9. I mean, like, I feel like the games that I lost, it was a direct result of my play. I made big mistakes.
We talked about this after your first loss, and I said, well, at least you think you lost because of the result of your play and not because of something out of your control, which I think kind of sucks more.
Yeah.
In a
I
way.
Don't know. I mean, they both suck more than winning.
Maybe there's an argument on either
winning
side.
Is probably. It's just right now, maybe with time, I'll have that perspective, but right now I'm so close to it.
Yeah.
All I can say
too
is that
soon.
It, yep. It's too soon, man. Still burns.
So do you have any moments that you remember kind of stretching out across the days?
Yes. Yeah, so the first one, like, so I won round one, and then I lost round two to black-green, which is actually, like, usually decent.
Yeah.
I crushed black-green later in the day. The first game kind of happened exactly like what I said, like, the deck just petered out. I drew, like, a bunch of early interaction and managed to counter a bunch of things, but then my opponent like landed 2 Grim Flayers in a turn and I had no more counter spells and no more removal in hand. I was just kind of really digging, and it didn't, you know, I just didn't get to anything before I died.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that happens sometimes.
Is a control deck's curse in a way.
Yeah. But then in game 2, my opponent, like, it's in the middle of the game and I have a Nahiri, a Void Shatter and a Torrential Gearhook in my hand. And I have 5 lands untapped and 1 tapped that entered the battlefield tapped. And my opponent has six lands. And 6 lands, it must be, yeah. So they cast a Liliana, and I counter it. And I don't think I should have done that.
Mm.
And then I counter that, and then my opponent goes Pick the Brain afterwards and hits the Torrential Gearhook in my hand and then takes them all out of my deck, which is really bad.
Yeah.
So
you're like, well, I have to deck you now.
That's rough. Well, I think, I'm trying to remember. No, I think I put Gideons in. I have some other ways to win the game in that matchup, if that ends up happening. But it was still, you know, since I have the Gearhulk in my hand and I have a Void Shatter, like, I know that my opponent isn't going to be able to ultimate a Liliana. If my opponent ticks up Liliana, it's not even doing anything. Then he's just going to try and ultimate it, and I have a card in my hand that I'm going to be able to flash in and attack the Liliana with on a subsequent turn. And if my opponent ticks down and, like, starts getting creatures and then, like, taps mana to cast a creature, then I can counter that.
Right.
So I don't, you know, with the Void Shatter that's in my hand. So that one really stood out to me as, like, hey, I didn't evaluate those threats correctly. And when you're playing a control deck, especially one that you know, doesn't have, you know, you have four Glimmer of Genius and you have some Nahiris to loot or whatever. And you have some Anticipates, but that's not it, right? It's not the style of like Sphinx's Rev where you can draw a bunch of cards and draw out of almost anything. You're really limited in terms of what you the answers that you have, and you need to decide if it's a time to use it or a time to not. And I don't think I decided that correctly. And I think that went for a couple of times during the day.
So. I'm trying to think of that song. There's a time to harvest and a time to...
There's a time to... Turn. There's a time to reap and a time to sow.
Is that the song I'm thinking of?
I have no idea what song you're talking about.
Anyway, it's
like none
probably
whatsoever.
From the 70s, so no big deal.
No idea.
Yeah, but that is like control marquee. Know when to deal with threats and when to let them slide.
Yes, and you have to, you know, you have to make the answers that you have in your deck match up against the threats that you know that are in their deck. And my brain was just not with it that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
Where was your brain?
I don't know.
Did you try texting your brain? Like, where are you at, bro? ?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I should have, but I didn't.
You didn't want to seem too needy?
Yeah, exactly.
Megan, look, your needs come first.
To my brain? I don't know. Is that true? I don't want to put that kind of hierarchy. You know, I don't want to introduce a dynamic to our relationship.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. I also still have to find a way to deal with my anxiety. I'm adding that to my list.
Okay.
Because I had talked about before playing out all my rounds, even when I'm dead, which I did.
Yes.
I was 3-3-1, and I played the last two rounds, even though I was quite tired. And I did the same in the Super Sunday series, and I played out all of my rounds. So I did that. My next goal is to work on a way to manage my anxiety first thing in the morning, because it's really, really, really bad. I thought I was going to yak on my first round opponent.
Oh,
I thought I was going to throw up on them. Like, I was going to have to call a judge and run and throw up.
Well, you did just...
And I didn't.
You just won all over them, so... If you have any tips for Megan...
I won all of them.
Feel free to tweet at us at MTAcast or leave a comment on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/MTAcast, because I think these are kind of techniques that anybody can use, like going into match one. It's always pretty nerve-wracking, but we got to take it down a level. Otherwise, it's going to affect our performance probably.
Yeah, man.
Maybe you just got to play more competitive Magic.
Maybe.
Anyway. I think you had a super good showing, and Jeskai Control honestly wasn't very well represented that weekend. The only player that I can remember off the top of my head playing it was Ari Lax, who did well.
Yeah.
There might have been more, but it definitely wasn't one of the top tier decks that we saw kind of making a break for it.
Yep. It wasn't a pony in the lead.
No. It was the one that scoops up the pony poop.
What? There's not a pony that scoops up pony poop.
If only. They've just got a little scooper on the front of him, just like, oh, this sucks. I want to be a racehorse, so I'm picking up my other horse's poop.
That would really suck, man.
Like, humans, it's really degrading to pick up your own species' poop. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, we pick up dog poop and it's totally fine. But if we're like, hey, dog, pick up that other dog's poop, that dog would be like, screw you.
Dogs eat other dogs' poop. Dogs eat lots of kinds of poop. It's really gross. It's one of the grosser qualities.
I made a real scientific like moment here.
No, dogs are great, but one thing that they do is eat other animals' poop. Like, a lot.
So let's talk about a little bit about some of our favorite decks that we came across this weekend. Yeah. I was sitting up in the feature match area doing life totals and got a great seat, actually. Best seat in the house for watching some of the pro players play some fantastic games. My favorite game that I watched was Greg Orange of Minneapolis, the Citrus Assassin, playing his blue-red control deck that had one copy of Megan's most hated card of all time, Magnifying Glass.
Oh, God.
So I apologize. And it had Bouncy McJace Jace.
Bouncy McJace Jace.
Unraveler of Secrets.
Unraveler of Secrets.
Who who can bounce creatures. So it was interesting because Greg was playing against a Teemer Aetherworks deck, of which there are three different kinds that were represented this past weekend. And every time that Emrakul would happen, or whatever, take Greg's turn, but Greg really didn't have any cards that really hosed him from Emrakul taking his turn. So he would just, on subsequent turns, bounce the Emrakul back and then hit with, like, the Gearhulkers. It was pretty fun to watch. So if you go to twitch.tv/magic, you can look up and watch some of the games from this past weekend. And that game was my particular favorite because his opponent must have been playing Teemer Aetherworks, because then he played a Whirler Virtuoso, which is one of the cards that Teemer Aetherworks added, which was kind of cool, and had about 20 billion energy. And I was like, oh no, Greg, you're going to get so many thop-thops against you. You're going to die. Because Greg was at like 2 or 1. It was a ridiculous life total. And then he passed the turn back and he had a Kozilek's Return. He just kind of showed it to him. Oh, it was so good. Anyway, that was my favorite game. But yeah, let's talk about some of the things that happened. Like, everybody thought Green Black was going to be just stealing the show.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, it did a little bit. But if you add up all the Aetherworks decks, those ones actually were more represented more of the field than the black-green deck and the blue-white flash deck, because those were the two everybody was kind of expecting going in.
Yeah, and I think everybody kind of had the attitude of, those decks can suck it.
Yeah, yeah, we're so done with those decks.
Yeah. Also, Teemer Aetherworks, really, all of the flavors of Aetherworks are very good against black-green delirium, and I think the Teemer versions of Aetherworks are the ones that have started playing Ishkanas.
Yes.
Were kind of short up their weak matches against the blue-white flash deck.
Ishikei.
Exactly. Ishikei. Ishikei and her friend Hisenkyu.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that deck was certainly well-positioned coming into the weekend.
It was pretty neat. I heard that, I'm not sure if this is true, that some decks were running Saheeli's Artistry to take other people's marvels. I'm not sure if that's could possibly be a thing. But it was neat to see the addition of the Virtuoso, even though I didn't see it get to make very many Thopters.
Yeah.
Even though it did have the potential, because those decks always have so much energy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the deck, it's pretty interesting, and it's based around Aetherworks Marvel, getting up to 6 energy and tapping it and going and looking at the top 6 cards of your library and casting one of them for free, in which case you want to usually cast an Emrakul, because come on. Or Ulamog.
They have Ulamogs.
Or Ishikei.
Or Ishikeis.
And then just be like, deal with that.
Yeah. And they're really good at generating 6 energy.
Oh, yeah.
I've had them like have 6 energy in play on turn 4 when they play their Marvel.
Yeah.
Just like, well.
Yeah. Okay.
Well.
That's why a lot of people don't like Marvel, because.
Yeah.
But you know what it reminded me? Kind of Collected Company, in which you play it, but you're not sure what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of people at the time undervalued Collected Company when it first came out, before it became a powerhouse, because our good friend Chuck mentioned, hey, people were like, you don't know what you're going to get. So they didn't value it as highly as they potentially should.
Yeah.
And it wasn't exactly the case with the Marvel, because I think people always knew that it was going to be pretty good. But it's the same thing. Like, you don't know what you're going to get in those top 6 cards.
It's true.
But
there are times when I'm playing on Magic Online and I'm playing against an Aetherworks player and they like tap their Marvel and there's just like this really long pause.
That's when you know it's okay.
And you're like, okay, you're gonna put like a puzzle knot or like a servant of the conduit or like a vessel of nascency into play, and I'm gonna be so happy. It's gonna feel really good.
Yep.
And then sure enough, like, you know, it's just like, oh, Woodweaver's puzzle knot, and I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
All day.
Sure. So, yeah, there's some other neat ones. Like, there's a black-red zombies deck.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. We saw a couple of places.
There was also a zombie merge deck that made the top 8 at Denver, which I appreciate. I appreciate the name quite
zombie
a bit.
Zombie merge.
Which had prized amalgams. It had, what's the big octopus? Elder Deep Fiend. Mm-hmm. It had, you know, other ways to like scrap heap scroungers, I am sure. Here we go. Oh, 4 Stitchwing Scob and 4 Advanced Stitchwing.
Oh, this is stitching up all the wings.
Yeah, right?
Cool.
This is pretty cool. 3 Lightning X, 3 Fiery Temper, 4 Kozilek's Return.
Yeah, another deck that people really wanted to see on camera, of course, was Seth Manfield's Panharmonicon deck.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call it his, but he was playing it. And this is like reliving my nightmare from from the pre-release.
Yeah.
When Blake was playing this.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. It was terrible. Anyway, this deck gains a billion life using Panharmonicon and playing things and just like bouncing them Cloud Blazer.
Cloud Blazer, Reflector Mage. Let's see. There's Drowner of Hope. 3 Eldrazi Displacer, so you can blink and get that double effect.
Can I tell you, like, if I had been playing this tournament and someone played this deck against me, I'd be like, I don't even know what you want from me. Flip, table flip. Like, blinking the Displacer and the Reflector Mage getting a double trigger is
just
game
crazy.
Over, man.
It's
game
crazy.
Over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, but the winner, of course, was Matt Severa. He was playing Mardu Vehicles, which was a fun little deck and one that kind of speaks to my sense of play. It's got 4 Smuggler's Copter. It's playing 3 Cultivator's Caravan, of all things, which are the vehicles in the name. And then it's just got a little bunch of little dudes who are piloting these things. We got 4 Thraben Inspector, Toolcraft Exemplar, Inventor's Apprentice, Veteran Motorist. But kind of the all-star that I at least saw, besides Scrap Heap Scrounger, which I think was kind of an all-star in a bunch of decks, that card's just very good, was Thalia, who kind of really wrecks other decks, because when you're playing an aggressive deck, obviously what you want to do is get in for as much damage as humanly possible, but what stops you is when your opponent plays something like Ishikei, right? And then you just sit there.
It stabilizes.
And you're like,
and you're just like, look at all these stupid spiders.
All these dumb spiders.
These dumb spiders.
But then Thalia's like, your stuff enters tapped, my friend, and I'm still going to hit you for 8 next turn.
Yep.
What are you going to do? So that I thought was really cool to see that happen. By the way, I heard this stat. RK Post was there selling some of his great tokens at this GP. He sold 1,000 spider tokens.
That's insane.
That's how many people are playing Ishikei.
Yeah. Well, RK Post tokens are also great.
They are.
And everybody who needs them needs 3.
Yeah.
But still. Or more. Like maybe 6, just in case.
I brought some Tom Servos from him.
Cute. I got two 3-1 elementals that are little fire ponies.
Cute.
I got an energy counter that's a Jolteon. It's real cute.
Accurate.
I got some other ones too.
What was your main moment of the weekend, Megan?
Wow. Wow. I don't know.
I just hit you with that out of nowhere.
Yeah, you really did.
Boom.
Yeah, I really loved watching the finals. It was great.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It was a good finals.
It was.
Teamer Etherworks versus the Smarty Vehicles.
Yeah.
It was a fun matchup to watch.
It was. It was a really fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, it was overall a pretty fun tournament. You did pretty well, I think, in Super Sunday.
I ended up going 5-3. I lost my last round. I would have gotten exactly 16th. Instead, I ended up like 38th.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. And I think that my deck was a lot better than I gave it credit for. It was really like a kind of suspect if you just looked at it.
It had, I thought it was good.
It had 2 Thriving Turtles, 2 Trusty Companions.
Okay.
It did have a Smuggler's Copter and a Cultivator's Caravan, which are both obviously insane, as well as Padim, who lets you draw a card, you draw an extra card on your upkeep if you have the artifact with the highest converted mana cost. And I had people kill like this stupid 1/4 for 4 just because otherwise I would have been drawing 2 cards every turn. It was absurd.
Nice.
Yeah, so it ended up being like a super tempo-y deck.
Yeah.
Because then I could have run 4 malfunctions. I had 3 malfunctions, a revoke privileges, a harness lightning, and a warden of the fairgrounds.
Wow.
In my deck. So there was one game where I hit my opponent, like I killed my opponent by just going turn 1 Thriving Turtle and then attacking with it and then like a Trusty Companion. And then on my next 4 turns, just playing kill spells on his creatures.
Yeah.
And so like I just hit him with this Thriving Turtle and that stupid hyena.
Yes.
For you know, like 4 turns. And then
so
my opponent was dead.
What's next, Megan? What's next for you?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, we got to play. It's been a long time since I played in a tournament.
Yeah. Louisville. September.
Wow.
Yeah. So we should go to Unified Modern.
In Dallas?
No, it's San Antonio.
San Antonio. Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
So, yeah, we'll figure out where we're going to be next and get excited because I want to sling some spells, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I love slinging spells.
But, yeah, if you want to catch any of these awesome matches, twitch.tv/magic, whatever you do, don't watch the Etherworks on Etherworks match unless you like pain. That was in the finals, so there's no time limit. And it was just like, it was so long, that match. It was, you know, if you're into it, it's pretty cool. But like, if you're not, you're just like, oh, okay, this is going forever. I'd have somebody tag out because I had to go to the bathroom. So long it took. Anyway, some cool stuff this weekend. Head over and watch it. And Megan, high five for the tournament. She high-fived herself.
I felt like I didn't quite deserve a high five from you, so.
Oh.
But you always deserve a high five from yourself.
Deep. For the noobs, when to get aggressive when all you really want to do is control.
Yup. So, you know, I play control decks because I don't like attacking people.
Because you're Minnesotan.
Yeah, exactly. And I just prefer to, like, slowly crush their soul.
Because you're Minnesotan. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, over you know, a long stretch of turns.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you're like winter.
Yes, I am like winter. I am. Yep. All right. So I mentioned I'm at 5-3-1. And my draw was against a blue-black zombies deck, which is very difficult for control because obviously, you know, you have all these kill spells and then their creatures just come back from the graveyard.
Right.
They have all these prized amalgams that trigger and come back, and then they have all these scrappy scroungers that come back, and then they trigger the prized amalgams and they come back, and all these haunted dead.
Sounds like a nightmare matchup.
It is a nightmare matchup. So I was really happy. Like, I ended up winning game one, which is very tough. So I, like, got there. I was like, yes. And then game two, I barely lost game two. And Andrew Brown, who we have talked to on Magic the Brothering, was watching the game. And then afterwards, he was like, you don't get aggressive enough. Like, there was a time when my opponent only had, was like, you know, tapped out and had some scrap heap scroungers that he was going to attack me back with. But I had a Linvala in play and had been attacking him some because I was like, you know, I had stabilized enough at one point and like played this 5-5 and was hitting them with a 5-5. And like he killed my Linvala. My opponent was only at like 8 or something like that. And I held up a scatter instead. And he was like, this zombies deck, there's not a lot in their hand that you want to counter. It's all stuff that's coming back from the graveyard and you can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
He was like, why didn't you just like activate your Wandering Fumeral and hit them? And it turns out that I ended up doing that in the last turns of that game because it was kind of a back and forth race. And if I had activated my Fumeral a couple of turns earlier and like been more aggressive with it, I would have won the game.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's moments like that, which are still really big learning moments for me because it's like, you know, it's right. Like, what am I going to freaking counterspell? I need to just start attacking my opponent because they have these scroungers that can't block anyways. And I'm winning the race if I just start doing that. So, yeah.
When do you think that is a key that you can kind of keep in your head as like, this is a moment when I should start attacking?
I think for the most part, for me, it's always going to be before I think it is.
So before you think it, you've got to think it.
Exactly. You have to think about it before you think it, which is, you know, which is tricky.
It's just adjusting.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's part of it is, you know, sitting down and doing the math of, you know, I have like a Gearhulk is a really big creature. It's a 5/6.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to keep it back if your life total is low, obviously, because you can block all of these things. But sometimes you look at it and it's like, okay, I might be at 14, but my opponent has a 2/2 and I have a 5/6. So I'm going to kill them in 4 turns if they don't block anything.
Right.
And they're going to kill me in like 7 turns if they don't block anything. So I think a lot of it is sitting down and looking at the numbers on the page and being like, hey, wait a second. I have this person on a much shorter clock than they have me.
You know what I find fascinating is since I'm not a big control player, is sometimes watching people play control. And one of those people is, of course, LSV. And I watched him play. I'm not sure if it was a draft. It probably was a draft deck. And it was a controlling draft deck. And he's like, all right, my opponent's attacking me. I'm going down to 5. Yeah, that's fine. you know, like yeah. that. And me just being shocked. Like, yeah. that's fine. You're at five. You're crazy. But that's yeah. the thing. As a control player, as an aggro player, you're like, I don't care about my life total. But as a control player, you're more, my life total is a resource.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing to think about when you're trying to figure out, is it time for me to start attacking, is also like, if I'm not racing back, am I winning this game anyways?
Right.
And, you know, in that case, in the zombies case, like, the answer is no. I just need to straight up race my opponent, because the answer to, am I winning this game if I hold back? The answer is still no. Even if I counter my opponent's next spell, unless it's incredibly relevant, I'm still losing to these stupid scrap heap scroungers that are attacking yeah. me. So the answer is just like, well, I might win if I activate this femoral and attack, and I'm not going to win if I don't do that.
Right.
Which is sometimes, you know, you have to sit down and think about, you know, how is this game going to end?
Yeah, and I think that's, maybe it's a little bit of experimentation too, you know, playing games and then forcing yourself to be a little aggressive earlier when it's obviously yeah. not when it's stupid, but like when it could go either way, and just yep. seeing what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is something like I noticed, like if you go back and you watch Greg Orange play, he's way more comfortable getting aggressive with femorals than I am.
Yeah, that's true. So. Anyway, yeah, Greg Orange, man.
Yeah, very good player.
Legit dude.
Legit.
But yeah, those are some good tips, Megan. And I wish that I could be like, let me tell you my tips for getting aggressive when playing control. But my tips would be,
just play aggro in the first place. Yeah.
Just get aggressive the whole time. Just get aggressive the whole
from the start, from like turn one.
Speaking of getting aggressive, we've got some awesome new preview cards.
Yeah, we do.
That we're going to talk about in a bit.
Speaking of getting controlling, we have some awesome preview yep. cards that have come up in the last couple of days.
We've got both sides of the spectrum. Before we get into Aether Revolt preview cards, we wanted to take a quick moment to let you know. So the professor has been our benefactor and continues to be on Tolarian Community College, and he's been absolutely amazing for us, getting new people to listen to the show or watch the show who never would have found us otherwise, and editing our show, being the producer. So we can't thank him enough for that. But we decided that we need to go bigger and better. That's yeah. right, Professor. We're leaving you in the dust. Just kidding. That's not wow, really what's
that
happening.
Wow, that was
hurtful. It's not true. But what we're going to do is we are starting Magic the Amateuring's YouTube channel for yes. real. So we've kind of been using it as like a dumping ground. That sounds terrible.
It's like the elephant boneyard in The Lion King.
It's just like, we'll like put stuff up there like randomly, not yep. very often. It's just a sad, it was just a sad place.
For a long time
place.
You could go and find the epic Theros song. It's not up there anymore, right?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I didn't take it down.
It might be there.
So if you watch that, first we're sorry. Second of all,
yep.
what we're going to do is make it a real YouTube channel. So that means our episodes are going to be up there every week. That means we're going to be posting deck techs. Megan's gotten a lot of requests for her elves deck tech. So we're going to do one of those. I'm going to do boggles just because that's, you know, kind of a deck that I love. We're going to do vlogs. Like, we had a vlog from when we went up and played the pre-release. That was really awesome. And just a whole host of awesome stuff over on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/MTAcast. It's going to be an awesome place to hang out, basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind, this doesn't mean that we are leaving the professor's channel at all.
No.
At all. That's not what's happening. We'll kind of coordinate with him. So we'll post some deck techs over there. We'll have highlights from episodes on his channel, that kind of thing. We just kind of wanted to make our own space on the internet and kind of own that too. So that's why we're kind of making this shift. And to kind of celebrate this awesome thing, this awesome venture that we're going on, we yeah. are giving away a box of Eternal Masters.
What?
Yeah. I know, wow. we're just like the Eternal Masters giveaway podcast now.
don't commit us that. To that.
Okay.
Don't commit us to that. But so far, yeah. That's right. You can get a box of Eternal Masters if you head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MTAcast will get you there. If you have clicked the button, which button?
Subscribe
button.
Boom, click it.
I don't know what words they put on the internet.
If you oh, you're legitimately asking me?
Yeah. I don't know. There's like five, you know, there's a million. Anyways, my point is,
I wish
you click the subscribe button.
Do it.
the do it button. Click. If you go over to YouTube and you click the do it button, otherwise known as the subscribe button, by December 31st, you will be entered to win a box of Eternal Masters from us. And you don't have to, that doesn't mean like, if you've already subscribed to the channel, don't worry, you will be entered.
You're
it
good.
Is everybody
You're
who
good.
Has subscribed to the channel by December 31st as our celebration of saying like, hey, look.
We're making a thing on the internet.
That's right.
And we'll ship it anywhere in the world for free.
That's right.
So no matter if you live in the vast, faraways of some, you know, tiny little island, or if you live on the moon, we'll ship
if
it there.
If you're the trash island in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
We'll ship it there.
We'll ship it there.
Also, consider moving.
Maybe you've got your own sweet society that you've set up on that trash island. I don't know.
Like you and seagulls?
Yeah. I'm just imagining seagulls running a little trash island post office.
That's pretty cute.
Adorable. Anyway, yeah. So just head on over to youtube.com/MTAcast. Hit subscribe so you can get notified for all the awesome content that we will be making.
Yep.
We're really excited to start this new project, and we hope you all will come along for the ride and hopefully win a sweet prize. It's time to Ether Revolt.
That's right. Who's down with authority? Not us.
No, we're revolting.
Not the people of Kaladesh.
No, they're revolting.
That's right. Those rebels are rebelling as rebel.
You know what else is revolting?
What?
Like a dirt sandwich. That'd be really gross.
A dirt sandwich?
I'm using revolting in the other sense.
No, I get that. I get that.
Uh-huh.
I'm just questioning... dirt sandwich.
I mean, I had to think of something revolting, and that's what came out.
I feel like you've undervalued dirt. No, I feel like you could do better. I feel like this isn't up to your sandwich. I feel like dirt sandwich isn't.
It's a good insult, though.
You're such a dirt sandwich.
Speaking of dirt sandwiches, none of these cards are dirt sandwiches.
No, they certainly are not. Do you know what I see?
What?
I candy? See a counterspell.
Oh, I thought you were going to say candy on a sandwich.
No, I see a counterspell.
Yeah, there is a sweet counterspell.
Disallow. One blue, instant counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability. So that's pretty sweet.
So you're not only able to counter a spell, you can just counter basically anything.
Yeah, you can counter a lot of stuff.
Not everything. But
not everything.
This but card a gets lot it done. Stuff.
Yeah, it does.
Disallow.
Disallow.
We have a new Planeswalker that's been previewed. Ajani Unyielding.
Man, Ajani's shoulders just get buffer with time.
Ajani's huge, like, to be honest.
Ajani is, like, yeah, built. This is a built cat.
Something you never thought you would say.
No, not really.
Ajani Unyielding is 4GW for a 4 loyalty Planeswalker. +2, reveal the top 3 cards from your library. Put all non-land permanent cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. -2, exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to its power. That's why it's kind of like a Swords to Plowshares card. A lot of people are comparing it to in a way. And its ultimate, -9, put 5 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control and 5 loyalty counters on each other Planeswalker you control.
Wow.
Wow. This card kind of does a lot of different things.
Yeah, it really does.
Kill something if you need to kill something.
Yep.
Finds you things if you want to find things.
Yep.
And then its ultimate is just silly.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this card could go.
Counters.
But there is a green-white deck that we saw Craig Wesco playing this weekend at Denver.
Yeah.
Which was a pretty neat deck. I don't know. Maybe something like that. In a shell, something like that. But that cat is huge.
Cat is built. A card that people have been talking about quite a bit. Yeheni's Expertise. 2BB. All creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
This card makes me so sad.
Oh, this card is amazing. It's so good.
So bad.
Not to mention, Yeheni is a badass.
Yeah.
The consulate pushed me to the limit, darling, and this is the result.
Yeah, and the art, like, Yeheni is, like, sucking the life out of some consulate soldiers. It's pretty
brain.
Sweet.
Like sucking ether out of somebody's brain.
Yum.
It's great. They're great.
So this card
Look
is insane.
That outfit.
Like, seriously?
That outfit is just baller also.
Are you going to cosplay?
What?
I would.
That'd be a sweet one.
That would be sweet.
But, like, seriously, giving -3/-3 to everything, and then you get to play a card for free?
Yeah.
How is this fair?
Fair can suck it.
Oh, I'm just playing my creatures, attacking you like an honest citizen.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Like you could cast, what could you cast for free with this? So many things.
You could cast Ruinous Path. Probably one of my favorites. Ugh. So like barf. Wipe your board and kill your planeswalker. Get out.
Get out, you lose.
Get out.
Ugh.
I'm done.
Some people were saying you could cast, what is it? The, not Time Walk, but you know, the one with Suspend.
Oh, you could, we're talking like if you go in Modern, you could cast a lot of things. Yeah. You could cast cast Ancestral Vision.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
As though it were Ancestral Recall.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So. Anyway, this card is kind of interesting. It's another sort of a kill spell, but we do have a keyword on it.
Ooh.
So this is our first sort of keyword from the set. This is a card, Battle at the Bridge. Mm-hmm. It costs X and a black, sorcery, and the keyword is Improvise. Well, Megan, we've been doing that for a long time.
Yep.
Your artifacts can help cast this spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for one. Target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, and you gain X life.
Ooh, nice.
That's cool. And Tezzeret is like, this is bigger than you, all of you.
Do you know what I smell?
What?
I smell a dragon.
Yeah, me too.
I smell a dragon's stinky, timeless dragon paws all over this.
I smell a dragon's paws all over this, too.
Yes.
And we get another clue about some stinky dragon paws in card that was spoiled.
Yeah.
You know Nicol Bolas, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm. Nicol Bolas. Just a dragon looking for love.
Yep.
Dark Intimations. 2 blue, black, red, sorcery. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, then discards a card. You return a creature or planeswalker from your graveyard to your hand, then draw a card.
Oh.
Yeah. When you cast a Bolas planeswalker spell, exile Dark Intimations.
Oh, Intimations.
Intimations. From your graveyard, that planeswalker enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter on it.
So why is it called a Bolas Planeswalker spell and not a Nicol Bolas Planeswalker spell?
Maybe there's like a John Bolas.
What if there's a baby Bolas?
A Torrance Bolas.
He finally found love.
Yeah.
Oh, his egg hatched.
That would be so sweet.
Wait a second. What? Conspiracy theory. So in the art for the upcoming set.
Yes.
Which is called Mind Fart.
Amonkhet.
It's not called Mind Fart. Amonkhet. Nicol Bolas, his horns are in the key art, but there's no egg between them.
That's true.
And maybe his egg hatched, finally, and it was a baby Bolas.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with my conspiracy theory.
Name Suzanne.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Bolas, and I want to control worlds.
Pretty great. That art's pretty great, too.
Yeah, that art is very, very kind of dramatic. These are very movie-esque, which I know... the art department is kind of going for, so that's cool. I think they're delivering. This is a card that's got me personally the most excited. Heart of Curin. It costs 2 and it's a 4/4 flying vigilance. What?
Wow.
Crew 3. So it's a vehicle. Legendary. You may remove a loyalty counter from a planeswalker you control rather than pay Heart of Curin's crew cost. What? That's weird, first of all. Second of all, Flavor City, because Chandra can drive her dad's car.
Yeah.
And also, Sad City, Pia plus her Thopter can crew this car. So,
lots of people can crew this car.
There are lots of sad ways to
crew this car.
To crew this car. But a 4/4 for 2 is just something that makes me quite excited. Not because necessarily it goes into an aggressive deck, which, you know, maybe it totally does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got cards like Veteran Motorist, which is a 3/1 can crew this. But, because it's so unique, like seeing a 4/4 for 2 is just something you don't see every day.
No.
So it gets me all excited.
Notably, though, like, so Smuggler's Copter, obviously great.
Yes.
Same thing. Cost 2. Flyer. It's a 3/3. It does only cost, that one only costs 1 to crew.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, like, how much of Heart of Curin we will see, because obviously it's super powerful. And it does have the ability for planeswalkers to crew it. And then you can still use that planeswalker that turn also. But at the same time, crew 3 is a big step up from
it
crew
is.
1.
It is a big step. The payoff...
No Thraben Inspector by themselves can crew
no,
this car.
No.
You're just a little detective.
You can drive a copter. But
you can drive a copter.
This is a huge ship.
It's big.
I mean, think about it. Like,
yeah.
You're definitely going to have to reconstruct a deck.
I'm thinking
about it. Around it. Because the smash for 4 yeah. is pretty big deal. But
do you know what it makes me think of?
What?
The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah? Why?
Right? I don't know. It's the Rebel ship.
It is a Rebel ship. You're right.
Yeah. It's kind of got, like, it's got a big profile, like, big, but kind of flat. And anyways.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet card.
It's legendary.
I'm excited to see if anything happens with
it. It takes 3 to crew it.
Really, you could crew the Millennium Falcon with 2, though.
Yeah, I know. But there were 3 a lot of the time.
Yeah, there were.
There were 2 a lot of the time, too, but there were a lot of 3.
Magic Goes to Space is something that I've been waiting for that I don't think will ever happen.
What if there's a plane that's just in space?
Space plane.
Space plane?
Wait, where...
How does that even work?
Think about where the Exile Zone is.
That's just the space between all the planes.
Hmm.
What if there was a set that happened only in the Exile Zone?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the space between the planes.
You would have to include every permanent from every set ever, because every permanent has at some point been exiled.
What if it was just like, when you planeswalk, what are you planeswalking through?
I mean, I'm sure you're planeswalking through part of the Exile Zone.
This is a cool idea. And it's, like, really dark. And, like,
what?
In the Exile Zone.
It's all dark.
But I mean, like, in space. In the Space Exile Zone.
How dark is it really in space?
So, like, I'm imagining...
Also, you can't... There's no combat in Exile Plane because you can't... Right?
You can't actually punch in space?
Well, yeah, you can't. You can't move it. Yeah, exactly. You can't punch in space.
In space, no one can hear you punch.
No.
And you also can't punch because you just can't get the force.
Well, like, it's an equal... Right?
And
you're sending your body both backward, and so you're not really going to accomplish much of anything. And also, you just have to, like, hope that your trajectory lines up with the person that you want to punch in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really a lot of complications to punching in space.
I think this is some design space that R&D can play around
really
in.
Play around with.
Just saying.
Yep.
Some other cool cards that were spoiled. I just want to quickly mention Quicksmith Rebel, 3 and a red for a 3/2, which is going to be like a draft staple that you're always going to want to have. And, you know, who knows, maybe a standard one. When Quicksmith Rebel enters the battlefield, target artifact you control gains tap. This artifact deals 2 damage to target creature or player for as long as you control Quicksmith Rebel. So that's a house.
Yeah.
Whew.
Very cool.
Yeah. And Pia's Revolution, 2 and a red, enchantment. Whenever a non-token artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to your hand, unless target opponent has Pia's Revolution, deal 3 damage to him or her.
Ooh.
So the artifacts are uprising. That's what I'm getting from this card, story-wise. I don't know if I'm right, but...
Pia's passion was directed at the big picture, at making real lasting change.
Good job, Pia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really swinging that hammer.
She is. A lot of people compared it to that old Apple ad where they smash the PC.
I have not seen that ad.
Yeah.
She's like just out of frame is like a PC.
It's a PC. Smash. Yeah, so some pretty sweet cards. Also spoiled Trophy Mage and Scrap Trawler.
Mm-hmm.
Go check them out. Aether Revolt shaping up to look pretty cool if what we see these cards is any kind of indication. So I'm excited because you know what? I'm going to say it.
What?
This has been a good set.
It has.
I like playing it. I think the draft is awesome. And I'm owing a lot of that to the vehicles.
Yeah,
they're
pretty cool.
If I'm being real. I love vehicles.
They're a real interesting dynamic, yo.
So, yeah. Keep your eyes out for more previews coming in the coming days. And get excited for some revolting action. We're never going to be able to make that sound good.
Nope.
Flavortext Theater presents movie pitches, cards we've never seen before.
That's right. We got a package.
It is a package.
It is.
This is a tiny
booster.
Little package.
We got a booster of Eventide from
Tony
at GP Denver. So thank you so much, Tony. And we're going to crack it open. And we don't know any of the cards
in
Eventide.
It's got Cold Eyed Silky on the front, who you may know from Cube.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's super
creepy.
That's
really creepy art.
So,
all right.
Ooh, let's crack this. I'm excited. I love looking at cards that I've. Why am I having a problem? You do it. That I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So, producers, I hope you're listening in, because we're gonna have some gold mines for you in this one, no doubt. Maybe they used to pack their packs tighter.
No, it's because he put the tape with his name. Oh, okay. All right. Oh no, there's a card on top. Okay. Oh gosh, that's a card too. There's no land.
Maybe there is. Maybe it's somewhere else. Land.
Oh. Okay. Well, I didn't see them. Let's flip them over real quick.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take. Oh, here. What? It was in the middle.
In the middle? What kind of world is this?
And the Kithkin soldier.
Oh, that's real cute.
So this must be like the Dark Lorwyn times, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay. Wow. This is a cute card. Cutest card, maybe. I don't know how to make a movie out of it yet. Hold on.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Okay.
All right, so it's about a woman who's just like, she works around the clock at her job just all the time, and she's super underappreciated. And then one day she just collapses from fatigue because she's been working so hard and she has not been letting up on herself at all. And then like during the week that she's gone, because she literally collapses and like has to go to the hospital, and they're like, you have to stay in bed. And so all her office realizes like exactly how much they've been undervaluing her.
Yeah.
So when she finally comes back to work, they have a day that celebrates her.
Aww.
Where they just let her relax and they like give
That's
her pedicures
nice.
And foot massages, and they tell her how much she's appreciated and how wonderful she is. It's called Recumbent Bliss.
What is this card?
Recumbent Bliss, 2 and a white, and enchantment aura, enchant creature, enchanted creature can't attack or block. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may gain 1 life. Ooh.
Oh, pretty, so whoever you put it on gets the gain.
Huh? No, you get the
life. You
get
it.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay. This one is kind of cute. It's about this little goblin who's going about his business and wants to be really cool and like heroic, but he's a goblin and he's small, and that's not really what goblins do. They usually, you know, cheat and steal. And so this goblin's like, I want to be a hero goblin.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his first time trying to be a hero, he was helping somebody who's getting like thieved at the edge of the road. He breaks his little goblin leg.
No.
So he, terrible. Yeah, he has to walk around with crutches for the rest of the movie and a peg leg because spoiler alert, they have to saw it off and put a peg on it. It's a brutal scene.
Wow.
And so anyway, he's hobbling around. He's like, I'm never going to be a hero now. I'm just like a little goblin who's wandering around with only one leg. Well, enter his new best friend, like this dragon, who's like, I'm going to help you out. I want to be a hero too, but I'm kind of a derpy dragon. And all dragons have heroes who ride them and fight and battle for them. But this hobgoblin was like, okay, well, I'll be your hero and sit on your back. And the dragon's like, I guess we're two misfits that just work out really great together. It's called Hobgoblin Dragoon. And it's a 1/2 for 2 and a red. What? Flying first strike.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
It's kind of butts, but that card's really cute. Look at that little thing it's riding.
It's real cute. It's like a big insect.
Yeah.
The fairy snickered at first, a common hob in Una's skies, but his lance ended their mockery, and now the sound of a cicada's wings bring a shudder to the fairy heart. He's riding a cicada.
That's real cute.
Cute. Okay. I have one. It's a classic Selkie myth. You know.
Yeah.
She goes on land. She regrets it hardcore. She misses the ocean. Wistful Selkie.
Ooh, what is that? Let's take a look at that.
Wistful Selkie. It's 3 of green blue hybrid. When Wistful Selkie comes into play, draw a card.
That's
a
really 2/2. Cool art.
I would play that card.
That's beautiful.
Right? Everybody knows, you know the Selkie myth, right?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody knows the Selkie myth. It's a pretty cool one. It's women who are also seals.
Seals. Right. Like, you know, that makes sense.
Yep.
This movie, oh boy.
Yeah.
This is like really stupid.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to Batman, the latest one, which I can't remember what it's called. It's not The Dark Knight, the one after that. Batman something.
Returns?
The Return of the Dark Prince. It's definitely not it.
No.
Return of the King. Nope.
Dark Knight Rises?
That could be it. Anyway.
I thought that was the second one. What's the second one? There's
The Dark
Batman
Knight.
Begins, and then there's The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And then is it The Dark Knight Rises?
Sounds right.
Sure.
All right. Anyway, it's a sequel to that.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck is not in it, but just FYI. And
it's Christian Bale?
It's Christian Bale.
Okay.
And but really, it's not about Batman at all.
No.
It's about this woman named Talara, and she and her, it's like a romantic comedy.
Okay.
In the Batman universe, which I don't think there's been enough of, if you ask me.
Agreed.
And it's about her relationship dating Bane. It's called Talara's Bane. I love being in this relationship with you. It's just so great, but I'm going to make some comical errors.
You are like way too intelligible to be Bane. I could not understand what he was saying for most of that movie. You had that issue, like, did you understand what he was saying?
I don't remember that problem.
It was way too, like, wah, 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 wah.
I just thought it was funny.
Okay, it's the same premise as Inception, but it takes
place,
but it's set in, like, the Renaissance era.
Okay, sure.
So it's, like, Renaissance Inception is called Dream Thief.
That is Renaissance Inception. Mine is a movie about, it's a thinly veiled critique of Scientology, but set, you know, in the woods with forest creatures. Yeah. It's called Kithkin Zealot.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Okay.
This is, you know, like the genre of film that's like 10 Things I Hate About You. It's like the Shakespeare remake set in high schools.
Yeah.
From the 90s. Okay, it's Macbeth.
Ooh, they never did one of those.
No, exactly. And for obvious reasons. It's this guy named Will, and like he just thinks that he's having the quintessential terrible high school time. But then he, you know, he kind of does some, he plays some underhanded pranks on his classmates that kind of make him notorious.
Oh.
But as a result of becoming notorious, he finds out, like, obviously, you know, he had, like, the romantic interest that was, like, his friend for a very long time. But, you know, they, like, she, like, liked him. But then they have, you know, she's like, I don't like this new behavior that you have. That's actually not Macbeth. That would have to be. Sorry, no, she has a friend who really loves it. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah, okay, he's really into it.
He has a terrible girlfriend who is, like, egging him on the whole time.
Yes.
But their relationship is horrible. And then he has, like, the girl best friend.
Okay.
Who's also been there. And she's like, hey, I hate the way that you're acting now. And they're, like, not friends anymore.
Okay.
And he thinks that all of, and then, like, you know, he gets suspended from school. He gets grounded at home. And he's like, why is all of this stuff, terrible stuff happening to me? Like, I don't deserve this. But it's like, dude, you were being a terrible person and playing all these terrible pranks just so that you could be like, have some notoriety in your high school. And then all of his classmates are just super angry at him all the time. It's called Fire at Will.
My movie is also a 90s sort of like teen drama, or it could be 2000s, like Mean Girls era. And what it is a girl who has special powers, but she doesn't realize it yet. So she's a very nice girl and gets corrupted by, like, you know, the, what were they called in Mean Girls? The three girls.
The Mean Girls?
The plastics.
Yeah.
And she becomes kind of like a nasty girl. And she has, and she tries to get back at people who, she wants to get back at people who are mean to her now that she's become mean.
Yeah.
But she doesn't realize, so when she goes to sleep and has these dreams about getting back at people who have, you know, out of spite, she wants to get back at them.
Yeah.
When she wakes up, it's actually happened.
Yeah.
Like what she dreamed turned into reality.
Yeah. I think there's a Goosebumps novel.
This does sound like a Goosebumps novel. And it has an appropriate Goosebumps title.
Which is?
Spitemare. Spitemare!
Yes, it's so good.
It's a 3-3 for two red-red or white-white. Whenever Spitemare is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to target creature or player. Oh, it's kind of like a little Boros Reckner.
Yeah, cute.
Spitemare.
All right, this is a contemporary tragic fantasy. where a guy who grows up in kind of like rural farmland on his family's farm is just like very tired with the lifestyle and is like, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna grow up, and I'm gonna get out of here. And he does, and he goes to work for a much bigger corporation, and it turns out that they're all about what's the word that I'm thinking of, the
greed.
No. They're all about fracking.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they're like a huge, huge fracking corporation. And he goes and he, like, he is part of the acquiring of his family's old farm.
Oh,
he like talks his family into selling. They had and it wasn't like a traditional farm. It was like they had like it was like a forestry area. So they had like, you know, a whole bunch of different trees that they cultivated for different reasons. And his family was always very thoughtful about it. And his parents are like, how could you do this? Like, this is a betrayal of us. And he's kind of like really underhanded in how he gets them to sell the farm to this company.
Whoa.
Because it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like the little intrinsic piece in like this much bigger tract of land that they're trying to buy. So he goes in and he buys it, and it turns out that like once they've raised all the trees, he's basically like haunted by the ghosts of all of these trees.
Oh,
and
yes.
It turns out that they were all like alive and living beings with souls the whole time.
Whoa.
And they come after him after they've all been torn down, and he goes crazy.
This is some Lorax shit.
It's called Tilling Tree Folk.
This has got to be the weirdest named card that I've ever seen. I don't know how you make a movie out of it, but basically the movie I made is a family of witches that are like, you know, like kind of good witches, but they're kind of like comedy witches. I don't know how to say this, but they've taught their children from a very young age that if they use magic incorrectly, that this monster will come after them. This monster loathes all tastes but to spells and flesh. So it's coming after them if they do bad magic.
Yeah.
It's called Nuklavi.
What?
That's what that card's name is, Nuklavi. And it's really creepy.
Yeah.
It's got so many eyes.
It says, when it comes into play, you may return target red sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. When it comes into play, you may return target blue instant card from your graveyard to your hand. For blue-red.
Yeah.
For a 4/4. My, oh, my. All right. This one is... This one is kind of like The Princess and the Frog a little bit.
Yeah.
It's about the king of like a forest swamp area. And he's like just, he's so grumpy all of the time, and he kind of just complains and gripes about everything. Of course, until he finds that there's love and light in the world. It's called Creekwood Liege.
That sounds accurate. This movie is one of those cute ones that's animated by Pixar, and all of the and it's not like toys, it's not like robots, it's tool chest tools that come to life. So like there's like a hammer who's a real bro, and then there's like a bunch of nails that are like little kids, and then there's a screwdriver, which is a Lothario, and then there's the hatchet, which is a real bully. This movie is called Hatchet Bully.
Yes.
This art is very sad because they're going to chop this rabbit apart.
Oh. Okay. So these are dark. This is dark lore one, because all my pitches have been dark. I have another dark pitch.
Okay.
So this one is about a woman who, when she's like fairly young, is visited by two opposing gods.
Oh.
And one of them says, okay, like I'll grant you immortality, but like because of that, like you also have to be the Grim Reaper.
Holy shit, that's great.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's a little bit the premise of Dead Like Me.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then the other god comes to her and says, like, you will have very limited time on this earth, but like during that time you will cultivate, like you will cultivate people, like you will help people grow, you will help the things around you grow, you will help your community grow.
Whoa.
Like everything around you will flourish, but you won't live that long.
Whoa.
It will be for a very abbreviated point of time. And she gets to, they give her a trial run of each of these things. So she gets to
choose.
So she actually gets to choose. They say, we're not going to make you choose unless you actually, like, until you don't have to make it blind, because she's only like, we'll say she's like 14 in this,
okay,
right? So she's super young.
Yeah.
It's called Gift of the Deity. Enchant creature, as long as your enchanted creature is black, it gets +1/+1 and has death touch. As long as it is green, it gets +1/+1, and all creatures able to block it do so.
Wow.
Right?
Is that our rare?
No, our rare was Creekwood Liege.
Oh, yeah, Creekwood Liege.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a foil in there, and all these cards are going to go into the pile for our all-time Patreon winner.
That's right.
For December. So get over to patreon.com/mtacast and join our family if you want a shot at winning this deck of cards plus every cards we played with every card we've played Flavor Text Theater with for the month of December. And we've got a new cool gift, by the way, for anybody who chooses to join Patreon this month.
You will get a Ghirapur Ori playmat from GP Denver.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It's a really sweet playmat.
It's really pretty.
It is. It's so shiny.
It is. So yeah, become a patron if you love the show or if it gives you any kind of joy from week to week. Throw a little dollar at it. It's only $4 a month, and it would mean a lot to us. And you get entered in these awesome drawings.
Again for joining us this week. Thank you again to our sponsor, CardKingdom.com. Again, head over to CardKingdom.com/MTAcast for all of your standard and booster and other commander or you know, other needs.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people tweet at us that their service they've gotten from Card Kingdom while using it with our name attached on the end has been just fantastic. And here's an extra bonus. I'm going to send some stickers to Card Kingdom.
What?
So if you make a note in your order, I'm not sure when, but they'll get to Card Kingdom. I'm going to send them tomorrow. But if you make a note in your order, I would like an MTA cast sticker. They will put one in your order. Boom.
Awesome. Nice.
Boom. So yeah. Nice. Yeah. Do that. And it'll be great. So cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Well, that was an episode, Megan.
It really was.
If you want to hang out with us even more between episodes, tweet at us at MTAcast on the Twitter times.
Or email us magicktheamateuring@gmail.com.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTAcast.
You can find us if you look in your basement the right time of day.
Yep, we're down there at some point.
Just hanging.
And remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MTAcast, if you want a chance at winning a sweet Eternal Masters box shipped anywhere in the world.
Amazing.
Or to a garbage island in the ocean, you know.
Yeah.
Any of that will do. Just hit over there, hit subscribe, and while you're, you know, subscribing to awesome things, go over to twitch.tv/magicktheamateuring and hit follow. Boop. And you'll know when we go live, when we start streaming. We've been streaming a whole lot more often, and we'd love to get more people in the chat and hang out with us because we have a good time when we stream, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We do.
We really do.
We do.
And now, Megan, we've got to record like 5 minutes for Patreon because we do little extras for people who are patrons. And
that's true. The extra special patron special.
You can hear more of our voices over there. So, yeah, thanks for hanging out. And if you're a patron, get on over to patreon.com and listen to your special content.
Yo.
Yo.